time for the In the Conversation podcast with funny man Damian Lemon and the voice of your choice, Ali Muhammad.
This is Damian Lemon.
This is Ali Muhammad.
And this is In the Conversation,
the podcast.
Yep. Back again.
Word up.
Crystal clear in your ear. You know what I mean? The end of the year is near. Yeah, there you go. There you go. Take those bars, put them over some flutes, and you know what I mean? Satisfy yourself. Nah, man, we here. We here, man. How you feeling?
And I'm doing real good, man. Shit, just in stride, you know what I'm saying? Keep staying focused, getting laser beam for 24, you know what I mean? Trying to make good out of all what niggas been doing and got going, you know what I'm saying? Few irons in the fire, you know what I mean? Bolstering this pod to the next level. It's holiday season, you know what I'm saying? It's that time when niggas stop answering your motherfucking collect call, my check call. So, you know what I'm saying? It's real a real good time to get introspective and figure out where you want to be, where you want to go, how you want to do it. And for me, it's you know, triple that. So, I'm on figuring that part out.
The planning, the plotting, and the reflecting.
Planning, plotting, reflecting, being, you know what I'm saying? All of the above, you know what I'm saying? Because, we niggas getting short with this shit, so it's time to move forward in a real way.
Right, yeah. Yeah, you can feel the energy fading out. You definitely, that's what they saying. This is let's circle back after the holiday season. It has begun. That shit kind of began right after Halloween, it seems. Like, it gets there a little earlier and earlier each year.
Every year.
Yeah, every year. Just like Black Friday. Black Friday being fucking August now. You know, they do a little preliminary. Black August.
I told you the white folks went to see Santa in October.
Yeah. Yeah. And I've been telling people that. That's crazy. That's really wild. But yeah, it's definitely that type of thing. And I don't know how hard that affects me, because I'm still out here trying to make some shit, shit happen. I know that's I'm not sure how hard that is in the, like, I know that's a corporate thing, you know. It's definitely a corporate thing. And I feel like it bleeds into, depending on who you're dealing with, it could bleed into some of this other shit. Mm-hmm. But I still need a few people to pick up the phone. I need some responses.
The crazy shit is, it's definitely corporate. It's definitely when you're trying to get corporate receivables, you know what I'm saying?
Right.
That's definitely a factor there. It's definitely when you're trying to do a deal. It's definitely when you're trying to sell some shit that needs a whole lot of layers of approval and, you know what I'm saying, sign-offs. Niggas in the street still spending money. So this just the beginning for retail and, clubs and restaurants. Like, you're a comedian, comedy shows. Like, that shit still is cracking and open for business. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. But when you're doing a little bit of both, and when you, like, I'm not even actually doing a whole lot of corporate receivables right now, but I do have to make some fucking moves. You know what I'm saying? And the time, like, it just feels like the time to be like, you know what, let's make these moves before everything get back into motion. And that's just me. You know what I'm saying? I'm not out in the street. I'm not out on in the club. I don't have no restaurant. I don't even have no products, which is offensive to me. But, it's time to just make sure that next Christmas you in place for everything. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. And then for the fucking fall, you in place. For the goddamn summer, you in place. For spring, you got shit to do. You know what I mean? And some point, you got to figure out when you're going to do this shit. At some point, you got to figure out what you want to do. You know what I'm saying? Shout out to Young Dolph. You know what I'm saying? It was Dolph Day, November 17th, the other day. You know what I mean?
Oh, so is that?
Yeah.
What's that based on? Is that the day he died, or is that
I think that's the day he died. I think that's when he died. He died at the end of the year like this.
Got it.
So I just know they named it Dolph Day for real, like it's a real thing, like last year. He died November 17th, 21.
Oh, okay. Rest in peace.
But, you know, by being Dolph Day, a lot of his interviews are starting to pop up. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
And remember how you used to say, you know, you learn more about an artist through their interviews nowadays. So I just was watching a lot of Dolph interviews, and the nigga made a lot of sense. You know what I'm saying? Given what he's talking and what he's done, you know what I'm saying? He nigga lived what he was talking. And it's just good energy. You know what I'm saying? Like, just how Nipsey was when he died. It's like, damn, that nigga made a lot of goddamn sense. But,
right.
So I've been on that. And really, you know, since I've been out of the mix, it's like, it's time for getting ready to come back to the mix. And when I come back to the mix, I want to come back a whole different nigga.
When I come back like Jordan, wearing the 4-5. Yo, ain't to play games with you. It's to aim at you. Let me ask you this.
That nigga got rid of that 4-5, though.
Yeah, he had to get rid of it. He came back with a marketing plan and a committee, a board of directors. Let me ask you this, though. What specifically did you see in some of this Dolph interview stuff that you felt like kind of struck you?
You know, when he started talking about when you got something that you want to do, you either going to do that shit or you not.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? It's just like, nigga, if you believe in that shit, you going to put the energy on that and do it. You know what I mean? And I understand that shit because I've done shit. You know what I mean? And I know what it takes to do shit. And you can't halfway, I'm going to try or I'm going to think. You got to believe that shit all the way 100% or it's at jeopardy of not working or being super extended. And just like I had never really hear his interviews, you know what I'm saying? And so when he was, you know, he was my rapper, you know what I'm saying? Once I found him, I was late, obviously. But once I found his raps, I was like, oh, this nigga is his energy level, his wavelength. You know what I'm saying? It's not really about a bunch of bullshit. You know what I'm saying? It sound like cash, hoes, clothes. But if you really listening to it, he breaking down a lot of the mindset of getting to that as opposed to a lot of the action of it. Like a lot of the, you know what I'm saying? I'm this, I'm that. And the third is more of this, the mindset of how to get to that. You know what I'm saying? And one of the things I watched the other day, he was just like, you know, he was talking, he said, my big homies taught me, you know what I'm saying? If you want to do it, you got to do it. You got to look like it. You got to feel like it. You know what I'm saying? People gonna invest in you based on how you look and feel. You know what I'm saying? If you ain't trying to look like it or act like it, it's going to be hard for niggas to put money into you or hard for niggas to pay you what you think you deserve when you're not showing up as the product that, you know what I'm saying, deserves that number. And so all that makes sense. You know what I'm saying? You got to be 100% showing up for who you are, what it is that you want, and where you trying to place yourself. You can't place yourself as a artsy nigga, but then you scared to show people your art, or you scared to look how you feel, you scared to look like your art. You know what I'm saying? You want to look like a get money street nigga, but you want to portray an artist. It might not match. You know what I'm saying? People might not want to invest in you as an artist, but they might want to invest in you as a street nigga or vice versa. You know what I'm saying? So I was talking to one of my homeboys about something totally different, but it lined up. And we was talking. I was like, man. Oh, he was saying, like, he's 40-something. You know what I'm saying? He done bought he done inherited a farm in Kentucky and bought a couple of houses. And you know what I'm saying? He's always the guy that with his, you know, he stands, he's got his back straight, chest poked out, you know what I'm saying? Like, I'm going to make moves. And so he was telling me how people call him, you know what I'm saying? And it all, a lot of times it's leading to, can I borrow $1,000? You know what I'm saying? He's like, God damn, you know what I'm saying? 18 people asked me for $1,000, nigga, $18,000 in a week. But I was like, mm-hmm. I was like, listen, man, people out here struggling. Niggas do be needing $1,000. And when you call a nigga, you have to understand that niggas is going through it. You know what I'm saying? Before you just jump straight into what you doing. You know what I'm saying? And how it's affecting you. But you talking to a nigga who need to put a goddamn, some goddamn food on the stove by tomorrow. You know what I'm saying? So you got to kind of ease into talking to a nigga that understand that you understand where he at with it. You know what I mean? So when a motherfucker hit you back with that, it's because you didn't even pay attention to where he was at. You know what I mean? You got to pay attention to where he's at. So I was just like, you know what I'm saying? On the contrary, when I be with my rich family and friends, you know what I'm saying? A lot of that, you know, a lot of the people who after the money, they kind of repelled by me. And I was like, I ain't understand that. You know what I'm saying? He was like, but nigga, you got stuff going on too. But I was like, but for some reason, I don't portray that. And that don't come to me. You know what I'm saying? And then he was like, ah, yeah, nigga, you probably just emitting an artist. You know what I'm saying? Nobody don't think to borrow money from an artist. You know? And I never thought about it like that. I'm just saying, that's when you tell that to me, that's what I receive, because I know people going through it out here, and I've been, you know what I'm saying? I go through it too, you know what I'm saying? Recession time, nigga, I was going through it, but nobody was in a recession but me, seemed like, you know what I'm saying? So it's, in the grand scheme, like I said, with Dolph, with my homeboy, it's understanding what you want to do and do that shit full time. Because for him, he was like, you know, my people told me I wasn't empathetic. And I was like, maybe you ain't going to be empathetic. You know what I'm saying? Because you never was. You got skills to be empathetic. But I don't think that's where you even want to land. You just equating empathetic with good. And that's not always true. So you had to take the gifts God gave you and make good out of that. And then empathy may be one thing, but that's not all who you are. And you have never been that. So I don't see why you feel bad, because that's not how you feel. So for me, I have to take all what God has given me and make something real out this shit for the end of the year, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. Gotta figure it out, you know? I was thinking about Dolph and Nipsey. You know, I look at them. And there's others, maybe Larry June and a few. It's like a subset of rappers that I call think and grow rich rappers, you know, mm-hmm. like where they definitely laying out the plan, you know, very deliberately. This is what it is. This is what we did. I put Dom Kennedy in that. Like, there's very much of a lot of financial transparency, whereas before, the generation of rappers, maybe before the quote-unquote get money niggas, they just let you know they had that money. And, nigga, your inquiry or any of the shit that you want to know, it's making me uncomfortable. It feels broke. I don't really want to share this shit with you. Just listen to me talk about this prosperity. Hopefully you could pick some clues up from the cryptic shit that I'm saying. But, nigga, I can't spell it out. Nigga, the game is to be sold, not told. That was the credo back in the day. Now, it seems like a lot of people are very much about, and then I did this, and then I did that, and slow motion is better than no motion, which I think is a big thing. There's so many, you know, so many avenues, not just just the rappers, but I think that we're in, you know, with the internet and podcasting and everything, we're in such an information era that people see that there is this value in information. You know, whereas before, I think people were very much very cagey. You know, mm-hmm. I was listening to a podcast earlier today. I forget the name of it with Coach K on there, and he was talking about certain things. And one of the things that he said blew his mind, and it was an interesting. I guess it was a gem. I was struck by it, but he was like, you know, when you invest, he was like, sometimes I'll just invest 1%. You know, and see what that yield. He was like, oftentimes people feel like, you know, just to invest that they got to take a large sum because it seems like more of an investment. It seems like, you know, and him and the other guy were talking about, well, you done spent all this time to build a nest egg and now you're going to gamble or like it's going from investment to gambling now, you know, and it was just like, you know, I think back on, you know, Jay-Z with the Nets. And I remember detractors would say, well, that motherfucker only got 1% of the equity. And sometimes I think when you find out the reality of some of these deals on every level, on the payout level, on the investment level, it's not as grand as maybe people would think. You know what I'm saying? And
or vice versa.
Right. Right. You know? But I think that like now some of this transparency is helpful, is helpful. But then back to this is something else that I want to talk about. Speaking of, cause I know you said something about, it's offensive to you that you ain't got no product out right now. You know what I mean? Like
a physical product. We got this show. So that's not offensive, but a physical.
No doubt. No doubt. No, I feel you. I understand what you're saying. Cause that's it. I would like to, I think I'm gonna try to figure out some product. But I had this, and this don't really have a lot to do with physical product. This is more about just pulling the trigger, right? And you're talking about just laying out, I guess, like the catalog of, you know, your activations moving forward. And, you know, again, pulling triggers and publishing and putting shit in the world, right? I was reading the Rick Rubin book, The Creative Act, which is pretty good, right? And it's a bunch of different things. And one of the things, I wish I had the blurb in front of me, but he was just talking about success. And he was like, you know, success really starts from within. You know, it's like when you finished everything that you wanted to do, you know, and then you put it out to the world, the success is already there before it goes out to the world, before one opinion is counted. The success is in the fact that you tweaked it and put it to the point to where you're satisfied with the end result and now you share it. And whatever happens, happens. Now, outside external success, that could depend on, you know, a variety of, you know, things or whatever, right? And it made me think... I think there's it's a double-edged sword, but I was just, and as you were saying that, I was just kind of thinking about what is the effect, negative or positive? I guess it's double-edged, but like how much of an effect does metrics have on the creative community? You know, like before it used to be like, I created this, boom, here it is, behold. You know, maybe some people will talk about it, maybe blah, blah, blah. But when you see I've created this, boom, 47 people like it. You know what I'm saying? That you know, it's like I've seen it and sometimes I've even been affected by it. But I've seen people literally become demoralized by that number, you know, like, you know what I mean? And it's go ahead.
It's a trip because it affects everything now because everybody has metrics. You know what I'm saying? You go on your phone, every app has metrics for you. You know what I'm saying? You got 47 likes or you got 47,000 likes. You know, it's such amount of people downloaded it, shared this many times. You spent this amount of time on the app, all that. And so you're basing success off of the success – that we know on the app. You know what I'm saying? You want to get a million followers. You want to get a million views in 24 hours. You want all of this stuff. You know what I mean? And a lot of times people always base success off of the success they've seen at the top, not the rise to get there, not what a motherfucker had to go through, not the 47 likes he had on his first CD. You know what I mean? Just the last one. The nigga did, you know, this nigga making money, man. The nigga got 17 cars and he getting $500,000 a show. And like, you looking at all of that. But like, one of the trippiest shits that I've seen in this recent world of Think and Grow Rich rap was simple as shit. It was like Rick Ross. Rick Ross, you know, obviously is rich as fuck. You know what I'm saying? In comparison to you know, a lot of his peers and a lot of us. Mm-hmm. You know, say, Rick, you know what I'm saying? If you had to give somebody, you know, one nugget to get successful, to stay successful, what would it be? Rick Ross said the same shit your mama them said. Save. Learn how to save. Learn how not to spend all your money. You know what I mean?
Right.
But it's hard to fucking see that when you're trying to get a Maybach too. You know what I'm saying? And you ain't got shit. And you want to show niggas that you made the leap. But you want to leap all the way to the fucking top. You don't want to go from, you know what I'm saying, your Tercel to maybe, you know, a Lexus or a Prius or something. You know what I'm saying? Nope. You want to skip all that. You want to motherfucking make a scene. And therefore, you're back to gambling, as you said. You know what I'm saying? It's hard to take the simple steps because you want to take the big steps. It's hard to take the logical next step because you want to win right now instead of watching it all the way through. You know what I mean? And we all got that. I had that problem even before metrics of apps. I remember in the motherfucking 10th grade, you know what I'm saying? We hang around with money people and driving money cars. And my uncle, and I didn't have my own car. But, you know, we rode everything. We didn't win all the fucking vehicles. And so at the end of the day, my uncle, he was about to go to the service. And he had a 73 Caprice convertible. I used to drive that sometimes. But it wasn't all the way fixed up. It needed a lot of work. And he was like, why don't you buy this? I'll sell it to you. Maybe it was about $3,000 or some shit like that. And in my heart, I was like, nah, that shit ain't it. That shit ain't it. But it would have been mine. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. And I couldn't see it because I wanted to jump to the top and not grind my way through the process. You know what I'm saying? It's niggas who get fucking extensions in their dreads until the dreads come in. You know what I'm saying? Nobody don't want to go through the process of the real shit. And it wasn't until I started learning the process before I could actually feel the mistake and of my own folly. Like when I was working at Vibe as a, you know, as a white collar job having motherfucker. It was the first time in my life I had nothing physical to sell. You know what I'm saying? I always had something to sell, something to sell. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. Just to keep it going, you know? But I wasn't selling anything of my own product, of my own mind, or I didn't buy no products to sell them. And that shit felt vulnerable. You know what I'm saying? That's when I started doing my own thing and making new mistakes because I felt vulnerable just not having nothing. And then when I had something, then my ego was like, I gotta show everybody I'm gonna win with my shit. Fuck this shit. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
Which you take away half of your blessings. You know, ego will help you strip yourself of your own blessings. And it's, that wasn't cool either. So you had to make a new mistake and you had to learn from. And you know, and it's life and you just keep going, but you gotta respect. You got to respect your next step, you know what I'm saying? Instead of your best, you know what I'm saying? Instead of your gamble, like the big win over if I do this and I do that, I'm going to win big. But it's like, how can I stay steady enough to stay winning So when the opportunity come to win big, I don't have to shoot my whole wad trying to win big. And then if it don't go, then I'm back to square one. But the Young Dolph theory, as I see it now, as I'm saying it now, is whatever you do, believe in that shit 100%. Take your little steps. Take your big steps at the same time if you can. If you can't, take more little steps. But believe your shit till it win. And that's really the bottom line to all this shit. Because only time you start losing is when you start quitting.
Yeah. Yeah. That's it. Once you, yeah. Stay in the game, you know. That's real shit. Word. That is for real. Yeah.
Real talk, 100.
Fire emoji. Oh, shit, man. What you think of that Andre 3000 album?
Dre, you know, 3000. Andre, we on the road to it. Andre, my man. Man, uh-huh. Listen. It wasn't what I expected. One. Okay. You know what I'm saying? I expected it to be a little more, you know, funk, pop, mainstream leaning. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. But he went all the way to the, you know, meditative thinking side of music. You know what I'm saying? Beats don't matter. You know, it's a vibe. It's a feel. It's an energy. I think that for him, it's a genius move, because what's to be expected from him is only what he expects from himself. You know, we don't know what the fuck he gonna put out, and he gonna put it out anyway. It's going to be people that like it. Of course, I've seen people that just cracking jokes about it. I mean, the first time I heard it. I mean, shit, I laughed so hard because it just threw me for a loop. I wasn't expecting it. And then I had to go back a few times and listen to it just in different mindsets and see where it belongs. And he's one of the few artists that can put something out, that can make something new, and then it changes you. It you try to adjust yourself to figure out what it is, as opposed to, you know what I'm saying, it having to do with what you are. It's just like with the Love Below. Like, we didn't know what the fuck that was. We didn't know he was finna do that shit. Hey, y'all, nigga, what? It was like you had to adjust to it and be like, that is kind of funky. You know what I'm saying? This nigga hit him with the 50s jam on their ass. Now, This nigga hit him with the Dalai Lama. You know what I'm saying? This the breathing. This the shit I be the breathing in the motherfucking yoga. You know what I'm saying? Go take Pilates and shit. Like, this nigga is telling you, is setting you up for a different kind of lifestyle without even saying it. You know what I mean? He just creates a world of sound that sounds different, and the sounds that take you to another place, and then you end up in another place and you have to deal with it and figure out how you fit into that place. It's, as far as art goes, that shit's beautiful. I love it. I think he just opened up a whole wide world for himself. You know what I'm saying? To see what he does, and if he brings people together around this, it's going to be a big thing. I want to see the video. You know what I'm saying? Shit. Mm-hmm. So, in self-branding, in self-figuring out yourself, it's a big lesson in, you know, fuck with the people that fuck with you. And give them the shit that's coming out of you and take it from there. You know what I'm saying? Because lo and behold, people might be able to see things about your shit that you never saw because they grew in a certain kind of way. He probably don't know how the people are receiving this shit except for the people who tell him, until we give them the feedback, until motherfuckers start doing what they do with the music, until you walk into a whole place and niggas is playing the flute album. You know? Shit. While serving lamb chops. I don't know.
I had some lamb chops this weekend. Them shits was fire.
I did too.
Very fucking good. Okay, yeah.
They was very fucking expensive.
Yeah,
I would do a Keith Lee on them, but I don't feel like I should destroy my momentum with shitting on a lamb chop spot.
Because
them shits was expensive, and them that service was terrible.
Yeah, I had some good lamb chops. They were pricey. The service was good, and the seasoning, all of that shit was right where it needed to be.
Oh, you didn't make them? I thought you might have made them.
Nah.
About food you make. Coming soon, the D-Lemon food show.
Right. Nah, but it sparked the idea. It sparked the idea to maybe make some lamb. I never thought about making lamb chops, but I might just do that shit. But back to the Dre joint. It's interesting, you know, like, there's a lot of shit that I want to talk about with this Dre thing. I'll say this. I listened to it a few times. I kind of listened to it in the way that it was prescribed, you know, listen to it medium to low, you know what I'm saying? Don't, you ain't got to blast it. There ain't no bops on here, no jams. So do that. When it came out, I know I turned it on to fall asleep to. You know, like I was like, let me just listen to this shit.
You was resting with
kind of, you know what I mean. Let me get some REM sleep score. You know, let me let it play, and you know it's in the background. But it's not like I'm not really paying super attention to it. And I think that was it was kind of twofold. One, like I said, that was kind of what the suggestion was. Two, I didn't really want to go into. He said that.
Oh, okay.
I was listening to him on the All Songs Considered podcast, which was really good. Like, it was good to hear him speak at length about, you know, his process, where he is creative, you know, creativity wise, and, you know, what's inspiring him and all of that. I saw that, and I also saw the GQ piece. I really liked the All Songs Considered pod a little bit more. Like, more in depth. Check it out.
But go ahead. Number two.
But number two was off rip. I ain't really want to critique it. I ain't want to give it a whole bunch of scrutiny. Based on the fact of, one, I'm not a flute type of dude. I'm not a flute fan. I don't have my top five favorite flautists, as we was talking about last week. You know what I mean? Like, I don't listen to Bobby Humphrey albums and all of that. I just know, okay, Dre is doing a flute album. All right. Like we said, or I said last week, I'm going to give him the benefit of the doubt. You know, what I was struck by, what was interesting was the level of backlash that I seen. Like, a lot of people were kind of pissed off.
Right.
You know, a lot of people felt as if he was trolling. A lot of people felt like this shouldn't be celebrated. You know what I mean? It's not at the level of celebration, this, that, and the other thing.
Damn.
And it made me think of this this quote that's been attributed to Andy Warhol, where he said, "Art is what you could get away with." I thought that was slick. You know, it's however you feel. It's all subjective. Right. You know, it's what it is. This is what he's saying. It's how you feel. If you fuck with it, you fuck with it. If you don't, put it to the side.
I think
a lot of people have certain expectations based on his legacy, you know what I mean? And their desire, you know. Nowadays, the buying public is louder than before due to social media platforms and everything else, to where their opinions can be heard, or at least be heard amongst the others. You know what I'm saying? So I fell asleep to it, and then maybe the next day I kind of had it in the background. Like, I was doing background shit. I was walking around with it, You know, I really know, like, the first song, the first record. Everything else, I kind of, it just fades out. But I know the first record. And this is what I appreciate about it, you know. And this is a testament to, you know, his position in the game, you know. It was almost like he made you pay attention to the flute. You know what I'm saying? He made you pay attention to the flute. Like, whether or not, like, I seen Metro Boomin laughing when he was joking when he was DJing. Talk about, yo, nigga, Dre played the flute on Mask Off. And niggas was like, for a hot second, you know, it started getting reported until he had to kind of say, dog, I was playing. But it was just so funny. It was just so funny, like, how that became validation.
Right.
Okay. It's accessible. It's in a fucking anthem. It's in a classic joint. Mm-hmm. Okay. Now they like, oh shit, you know. But it made you pay. It made pay. It's like when you get high. You know, when you get high, it. Well, I'll say this. It made you slow down, mm-hmm. right? And I guess that was part of the intention, right? It's not. Like he said, this ain't no jams. This shit ain't going to just impact you. And, you know, this is something that it's about damn near meditation, as he said, right? It's like getting high. Like, when you know when you spark up a, you know what I'm saying, smoke a blunt or something, and, you know, that first maybe 10, 15 minutes, you kind of anticipate in the high nigga, I'm feeling it. And then you're starting to pay attention to the high. You know, you're starting to pay attention to your ideas a little bit more. Shit, slow down a little bit. You're like, okay. Oh, shit. You know what I mean? Like, mm-hmm. you laughing, like, colors are bright, all of that shit. But it makes you kind of just focus, pay attention, mm-hmm. right? So much music comes out that people stop paying attention by the fourth song. It's just like nowadays, people just want what they want, but once they get it, they got it. Mm. And it's no real sitting with shit, because shit is just so, it's we want it. That becomes the story. Yo, when such and such gonna drop? It's been too long since they dropped. Well, we want a Rihanna album. We want a D'Angelo album. We want a such and such album. When the shit come out, it's like, oh, okay. And then maybe it's classic, it's trash, whatever, whatever. Couple days go by. And then it all resets again. All right, bet we got that. What's up with the new such and such?
Mm-hmm.
This, I think, it doesn't play in that same arena. It's not as, it'll get dismissed before it's disposed of. You know what I'm right. saying? Like, people are like, man, fuck that shit. And look, that is what it is, but there's a lot of people that are like, they're gonna try to, I don't say grapple with it, but they're going to try to understand it. You know what I'm saying? Because it's so unfamiliar. It ain't like what you used to, you know? So it's been kind of interesting. It's been interesting. Again, like, I'm going to listen to it some more. I listen to jazz shit in the back. I think it's some jazz shit.
Yeah, no doubt.
I call it, you know, it's some jazz shit. And I typically, when I write, I'd like to put shit on with no lyrics anyway. Mm-hmm. So at some point, I'm going to put it on and have it on in the background or whatever and kind of get into it a little bit more. There's been a couple things that I caught here and there. It's just like, okay, you know, like, mm-hmm. it's fine at this point. You know what I mean? Right. It ain't. I haven't been affected by anything other than I've considered it. And it's funny right. that the right. good podcast is All Songs Considered, because let me take the minute. Like, it goes back to the fact that he has garnered the benefit of the doubt based on his career. Whether, right. you know, whether you like it or not, people are going to pay attention based on his legacy. Right. So that's where I'm at with it.
And people listen to this type of shit all the fucking time that they don't talk about. They put it on the YouTube with the anime drawings and shit and listen to the shit.
Oh, the lo-fi shit?
Lo-fi yeah. or the meditative shit. It's all kind of shit out there for you. Or the jazz. Like, for me, you know what I'm saying? You got people like Alice Coltrane and mm-hmm. Sun Ra and all of these mm-hmm. old jazz era artist that was like during the whole fucking acid era of just blow your fucking mind on some shit that don't even halfway make sense when you first listen to it. Goddamn Griot Galaxy out of Detroit. Like, they be on some other shit, you know what I mean? And it just, they're just trying to take the shit to a whole nother place through the music and the vibes, right? And I think with Dre, he ain't mastered the flute yet, but he put himself in an arena where his talent was at, it matched where he was trying to go. You know what I'm saying? And he could grow from within that. There's nobody going to judge him versus the flute player on Bobby Humphrey's album or wherever, or Farrell, you know what I'm saying, Saunders or no shit like that. You're going to take him from where he was. Just like with rap. We wasn't no, the beginning rap people wasn't no super musicians and shit like that. Niggas had words. Niggas might scratch some albums together. And we took it as that. But the music purists would be like, oh, no, no, he didn't even play that. They just taking one record, and that is good times. The musicians are just playing good times over, you know? But at the end of the day, niggas is creating something brand new out of something that exists. Dre is just creating something brand new out of what he's playing through the wood tone, you know what I'm saying? And because of his platform, because of who he is and where he's been and what he's been able to do, he'll be able to bring people together around that. It might not be in the same types of numbers, but it could be bigger, could be smaller, could start smaller and get bigger. I don't know, but it opens up a brand new lane that has no fucking end to it. You know what I'm saying? To me, it's just like when people criticize Drake for doing the dance album, but not realizing that globally, dance don't really have no end to it. You could play a dance record from 20 years ago, ain't nobody tripping, because niggas is dancing. You see what I'm saying? Like, a nigga create a lane for himself to go to Ibiza every Sunday, every summer, and make, you know what I'm saying, such and such a show for the whole summer, and don't go nowhere in a residency. Shit, I be dropping me a dance album every year, along with my rap album and all other shit nigga do. So when the rap is over, shit, we'll go dance.
Right.
You know?
It's just a whole nother context. Yeah, now you're right.
Yeah, it's another context, but for him as an artist, it opens up a brand new lane of his own creation with no one in his way. What meditative artist is in his way? We don't know, because we don't know him. He is the meditative artist. Nigga, that nigga
he's
is.
He's the guy that's going, yeah.
He running an insights timer. You know what I'm saying? Shit.
Say that again. I ain't even, what's the last one? You said he's running what?
Insights timer. Insights timer is the meditative app that got all of the different kinds of meditations. His classes. It's all kind of shit. I use that shit. You know what I'm saying? Shout out to Rachel Johnson, put me on to the Insights Timer. When I was down.
Insights Timer?
Yeah, Insights Timer. Okay. It started off as a place to time your meditations and shit.
Right, right.
Now I got all kind of classes. It got all, you know, playlists. They got all that shit. That nigga gonna run that shit. And you gotta pay for that bitch. That shit ain't free.
Yeah.
So, you know, it's a lane. Yeah. It's a lane. It's people out here trying to get their mind right. It's people out here trying to, you know what I'm saying, check out of the frenzy and fucking check into their own self. You know what I'm saying? It's this, you know, this is the, as they say, the age of Aquarius, if you believe in that sort of thing, where all of that shit is coming into play. But, you know, everybody got to take their journey, and some people going to end up on that journey, and he gonna be leading the way with his flute. Fuck it. You know what I'm saying? You ain't even gotta be in the conversation of sliding and niggas getting dropped and, you know what I'm saying, the bag and all that shit.
Yeah. Yeah. It's a beautiful thing. It's a beautiful thing. And the cool shit is it's its own thing. Like you said, thinking about stuff like, you know, Sun Ra and all of that. Like, it's also how it's introduced to you. You know, like when you introduced to some, I remember the first time I really got introduced to Sun Ra, it was definitely on some old, this some different type shit. It wasn't even that preamble. Niggas was smoking, you know what I'm saying? And it was like one of my homies would always play some left shit when we would smoke. Some left, some different shit. This is pre-Shazam, but it inspired that same desire to be like, yo, what's this? It was always the what's this. And you know, when you got the what's this, I think Shazam is robbing people of the, yo, what's that? You know what I mean? Because people take pride in putting people up like, ah, oh, you ain't up on this, huh? Oh, this, that, such and such. So it was one of those. And I remember it was the Sun Ra Linquidity album.
Oh,
and
man,
it was
just so that album.
That shit is fire.
I love that.
But it
album.
Was just so different. And I was like, yo, what is this? And it made me explore and listen to more shit. So I think that's what's going to happen here for a lot of people. And like I think you said last week, there's going to be people that are going to be introduced to Andre on the Flute album that right. don't even know
right.
he was an MC. Right. You know? So it's just point of entry. It's a whole new point of entry. And come through, have a good time, or not. You know what I mean? Everything ain't for everybody, and that's the beauty of art. You know, like, that's the thing. Sometimes, it's the statement. It's the statement. If you get it, you get it. You know, if not, it is cool.
Right.
It's here for you if you ever want to revisit or never.
Right.
You know? But it's out there, and I that's something that's inspiring, too. Just put the shit in the world. And let the people get to it. Whoever could get it out your system. Because I think that's what it is. Like he talked about, you know, the album in itself. One of the things is, you know, like when he's playing that album, this shit is all, there ain't no rehearsals. This was the rehearsal.
Right.
But it's very much like old jazz when they would just, a bunch of players get together and just cut a record. Put that bitch out. Like, you know, you look at some of these jazz players, these motherfuckers got 15, 16 albums. Every time they got together, they was like, yo, it's like a cypher. Let's just put some shit together. Fuck it. Mm-hmm. Let's go to the studio. I'm going to play the horn. You're going to get on the drums, and we're going to jam for about 45 minutes, and we're going to press that shit, and we're going to sell it.
Yeah,
it's going to be in the world, and it's on the record. So, literally.
Yeah. Shout out to that Sun Ra, man. Everything that I produced in my first half of my adult life, I spent time with Linquidity to think that shit through.
Yeah.
That's for sure.
It's a good ass album. Yeah. I had a question for you. This is different. How much do you think, I was thinking about this just recently. I was I was clearing off my camera roll and putting it on my external, as I'd like to do. I don't play with the cloud or whatever, but like, how much of this compiling of digital media is just an illusion that we just choose to buy into? You know, like,
well, I'll say it like this, man. It is a lot of people use it like it's an illusion. A lot of people treat it as an illusion. Some people catalog it and use it for their own future. You know what I'm saying? Others, it's just something that was there. This was a time, and maybe something that maybe your people might find years later. But the power of being able to catalog these things, it gives you great strength in really telling your story, or really telling your professional story. You know, you took these pictures. You may never called yourself a photographer, but you got years of that shit, and you're a photographer. And one day you might break them shits out, and as you know what I'm saying, at the top of your comedy game, be like, I'm dropping this fucking photo residence at such and such, and niggas gonna be like, damn, this nigga a photographer now? And then that shit gonna be like from 2001, 2000, and it'll be, you know, the Lemon catalog. You know what I mean? It's a difference. Like I tell niggas all the time, it's a difference between a motherfucking resume and a catalog, what's the difference? Resume is some people put together to ask for work. A catalog is some people put together to put a price tag on all their shit. And the only way you're going to know your worth or be able to try your worth is to know where all your shit at and how you got it put together. So I think cataloging your fucking pictures is a great idea. Whether you do something with it or not, at least you have a place where you've put that shit and you know that's where it's at. That's what I got. And if you decide you want to do something with it, it's there. You know what I'm saying? But for most motherfuckers, we just take that shit. It's just sitting there. We get a new phone. We can't upload all that shit. That shit just sit on the old phone to the old phone, just fades away. And then that was that. We'll post the good shit as we see it, as we go on the social. But how are we really looking at our lives? Like, we have a unique opportunity to look at our lives unlike any other generation. You know what I'm saying? We got recording, we got video, we got sound, we got all this shit in our hands 24 hours a day. We addicted so much that we won't put that shit down. We won't let that shit go. But we allow everybody else to utilize our catalog more than we utilize it ourselves. So you're right that it is an illusion for most people, but it has a potential to be a lot of things for everybody if we look at it the way, you know what I'm saying, we want to look at it to utilize it.
The reason I was saying it's an illusion, and maybe an illusion or just something you got to keep up with. The reason I was saying an illusion as far as particularly digital media is you have to make sure that whatever you have that is storing this shit is up to code technologically. You know what I'm saying? Make sure that this fucking external don't fucking crash. Make sure that you got whatever the converter is. Do they even recognize this format? Did you not convert the format into, like, all of that type of shit I'm talking about? Like, where it's like, damn, I had gigs of this shit. And now this file is, you can't even read. This file, unfortunately, we can't read. We don't recognize this file no more. We don't fuck with it. Or we're going to convert it. But when we convert it, it's going to distort the shit out of it. You know what I'm saying? That's what I mean. So it's like, because sitting on archive feeling good, you know, it's a difference between physical, because unless that shit deteriorates or there's a flood or a fire or whatever. And obviously, everything is finite, you know, so they say. But it's like, sometimes I just look at the gigs of shit that I got, whether it's photos or music or whatever, and I'm like, is shit cool today? You know what I mean? But, shit, because I've had shit just go left where, like, now you can't even open that. You can't even can't access that no more. And I don't even remember everything that was in the folder. You know what I'm saying? It's lost to the passage of time, you know.
Yeah, that's an unfortunate thing, you know. Yes, the technology, whatever drive you got, you better be, that shit ain't going to last. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
And, you know, if you don't back up, you will lose. And and that's okay. You will lose. You have to go with what you got. But,
yeah,
you're right. That shit will corrupt on your ass, you know?
Corrupt young Gotti.
And, shit, man. Life crazy, man, because you will lose shit. And some shit will break your heart. But other shit, you got to keep going. Some shit will make you change your whole life. But you gotta keep going. You know? Shit. Remember Humpty Hump? House burnt down. Lost all his music files and history. Kareem Abdul-Jabbar house burnt down. Lost all his shit. Like, you know, we end up in places where you gotta shake that shit, lose some shit, keep going. You know?
Right.
Keep going. Yeah. I don't know. That shit's sad.
I said, we should have break your heart. Yeah, it did get a little somber, but it's real. But you know, because it's memories more than anything.
Yeah.
Like that's the thing. It's memories. All of this, you know, all of this shit, tangible or not, is what it evokes.
Right.
You know, you look at a photo and you're like, oh shit, it take you right back. You hear a song, it take you right back. Right. And you know,
it's crazy because you know, go ahead.
Go ahead.
I go through Instagram now like, damn, I have no pictures of my childhood. You know what I'm saying? If you look on my gram and see any pictures of me as a kid, that's some shit I stumbled upon. My last one I posted, I just saw that bitch. Today. I posted it the day I got it. You know what I'm saying? Like, damn, I ain't never seen this shit before. You know, so I wish I took more pictures when I was younger. You know what I'm saying? I got a whole bag of 35 millimeter film that's never been developed that I don't know if it can be. You know what I'm saying? I could try it. You know what I'm saying? But it's like college year shit that I never, you know, you broke. You ain't got money to take that shit to Eckerd's and get developed.
Right. Eckerd's. Wow. Took it back. Eckerd's. Damn.
You know what I'm saying?
Oh, shit. R.I.P.
Yeah, for the young people, that's like what turned into Walgreens or CVS or some shit. You know what I'm saying? Wow. I think it's CVS.
Yeah.
But,
dang.
You know, I wish I had more pictures of my youth or my experience.
Right.
But I got my memories. And I could make shit off of that, you know? Like, it's people, we doing all this talking. We could talk through these different things. We could animate these different things. We could reenact these things, you know. But it's really taking your experience and making shit. If you're creative, if you're a regular person, man, remember the people house you go to and they got all the fucking photo albums, nigga? You be like, God damn, these people got their shit together. Even it could be the, you know what I'm saying? They ain't had to have much at all, but they got all the photo albums. Like, damn, you know? Like stacked up. It's like, damn, I wish I had this. That's
proof of life.
Yeah, it's like like niggas probably was tripping on the hieroglyphic nigga. But that nigga was you know what I'm saying? Shit, that's gonna all be what's left of your ass. These hieroglyphics.
Right.
So I don't know, man. We just out here living life, man. I need to get on some of that Dre and start to meditate this shit to death and get it together.
Yeah. Go ahead, what you about to say?
I was about to talk about an experience I had this week where it connected like with my daughter's experience, talking about like, you know, these childhood things and deciding how you gonna live your life. I had a opportunity to sit down and have a conversation with, you know, it was led by Dougie Fresh and Ed Lover. And, you know, it was just super interesting sitting with Dougie Fresh because he has so much firsthand knowledge. You know what I'm saying? Like, you can talk about the Busy Bee tape that was going around. He's like, nigga, I was sitting on the side of the stage. You know what I'm saying? When that happened. Like, I'm 13.
Right.
And it was like mind blowing, like, you know what I'm saying? Like, we talked about Tila Rock, and I knew Tila Rock was like one of the Treacherous Three brothers, and they wanted the dude from Treacherous Three to do the song. Like, Rick Rubin wanted him to do the song, but he was like, nah, do it with my brother because I'm signed already with Treacherous Three. And that's how we got Tila Rock. But I didn't know that the actual rap was written by, I think it was Spoonie, one of them damn Treacherous Three niggas, wrote the rap for Tila Rock, which I was like, damn, that's crazy, because that's like some of the hardest shit that had ever hit at the time to me. You know what I'm saying? And I got to give a Miami experience of these records, you know, with some New York niggas who was there when it was being made, but I'm a nigga that was just young, receiving it from a whole nother place, these vinyls with no faces, you know what I'm saying? And it was such a dope conversation that, you know, I had a great time, but then I realized after it was over, you know, you stand around taking pictures and stuff like that, it was like, damn, these the niggas when I decided that this was what I was going to do, like entertainment and hip hop, and I was going to be a part of that shit, was like Beat Street. You know what I'm saying? When I saw Beat Street, I was like, yo, that's it. That was like where you could actually see the lifestyle of the shit. Shout out to all the people that was doing it. And he credited it to Harry Belafonte bringing the funds for the shit. I'm like, God damn, I never knew that. But it's like it was a significant image that made me change the course of my life. I'm like, nah, fuck all that other shit. I'm doing that right there. And I've done that my whole fucking career. I've never had no real fucking job outside of doing that. You know what I'm saying? And so after we finished, it was another group coming in and Kool Moe Dee was there. Kool Moe Dee was in the movie. You know what I'm saying? And I had just did a piece, and they behind the scenes piece, and they was like, you know, what's a hip hop lyric that, you know what I'm saying, that lives with you every day, like now? And you know, and that's hard because there's a hip hop lyric for every situation, you know what I'm saying? But one that I use over and over and over, and it's now that I'm grown, because you know when Dre was like, you 40, what you rapping about? But Kool Moe Dee said in the song, They Want Money, he said, you know what I'm saying, back up off me, smell the coffee. I tell my kids that when they be asking for too much. You know what I'm saying? It's like, you know how black moms be like, don't touch nothing, don't ask for nothing. You know what I'm saying? It's one of them type of lines. Ah, back up off me, smell the coffee, I done told you. You know what I'm saying? But after I said it, you know, Kool Moe Dee walked in. And then somebody brought him over to me. And you know what I'm saying? I had to tell him the story, which was all obviously embarrassing because it's like, it don't fit telling the nigga who wrote the shit. You know what I'm saying? He was like, nigga, that wasn't even my hardest line, nigga. You run around. So it was kind of embarrassing to have to say the story in front of the nigga who wrote the shit. But it was cool to be able to meet niggas that was in the image that you saw when you decided that I'm going to do all this shit. You know what I'm saying? Kool Moe Dee rapping through the wall at Santa Claus. Dougie Fresh coming through with the beatbox on the same scene in the same wall. Those were the niggas. Those were the niggas who was doing it. And so I go home, you know what I'm saying, next night with my kids, with my daughter, and she comes out of the room. She was like, yo, I want you to see something. And I'm like, what? It's like this show on Netflix, it describes exactly what I want to do. You know what I'm saying? And I was like, well, damn, that's crazy because I just saw the niggas who was in a film that described exactly what I wanted to do. So I was interested to see what she was talking about. So she put it on Netflix, blah, 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 blah. And lo and behold, it's a movie called The Beauty Effect that was originally done for Comcast at around the same time as we did the Homecoming movie. It was on the same people. So Keisha Boyd executive produced that. She executive produced the thing we was on. And The Beauty Effect was all about, CJ Faison was the EP. You know what I'm saying? We were on a panel together talking about shit. But it's a movie about beauty and people who work in beauty and fashion. And to her, it was showing her exactly, you know what I'm saying, the stuff that she had in her mind. Just as Dougie Fresh and them did for me. You know what I'm saying? And I immediately understood what that was. So we sat and we watched the shit. You know what I'm saying? And it was just sinking in that, you know, we make these decisions based off of people's work. And those catalogs you talk about, that's your work. You know what I'm saying? It's somebody that's probably making a decision off of some of your work. You know what I'm saying? Some of my work. I don't know. Might not ever know. You know what I'm saying? Until 10, right. 15 years from now, we sitting on some panel and the nigga just tell you some shit. And you be like, oh, wow, that's crazy. You know what I'm saying?
Some shit you might even forgot.
Right.
Or you ain't even think about. Back up off me. You know what I mean? Like, he like, oh, rip, that shit inspired the fuck out of you.
Right.
And to him, felt like a throwaway line. Yeah, but shit,
it was just another thing, you know?
Yeah.
And then when I pulled that shit up online, the video came up. That nigga shot that shit on my block in Brooklyn.
Oh, you told me that. Yeah,
you know what I'm saying?
Yeah,
they crazy. Shot the video on my block, nigga. I'm like, damn, that's block wild. In the 80s. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
I was in Miami not even thinking about this shit. So it's like these small things that we do as, you know, acts of creativeness coming out of our mind, utilizing the world as an inspiration and filtering through our own sensibilities. You know, yeah. it affects people. You know what I'm saying? It might be one motherfucker, but it's another part. It's like being a piece of circle of the life, you know? And sometimes mm-hmm. you could be Simba and try to sit the shit out. And then your ass got to get back in the shit. Like, Simba join the circle of life, nigga. Tripping.
Yeah, see, I never saw The Lion King, so I missed that last part of the reference. But I'm sure people, and everybody says that. Every time I say that, people are like, oh, shit. It's like, I ain't see Roots or some shit. Niggas like, get the fuck. What, nigga? Yeah, I ain't see The Lion King. I'm sure the people get it.
Yeah, so, Simba was the son, right? And then, you know, they killed his daddy, his brother.
Well, don't spoil it.
Nigga, you ain't finna watch the shit, no way.
I know.
Nigga, all these goddamn years, nigga. Shit. Simba, after they killed his daddy, Simba ran off in the woods. You know what I'm saying? As a little nigga. And as a little nigga in the woods, he met some other cool little niggas, a pig and some little random animals, you know what I'm saying? And he was like a little baby lion, just, you know what I'm saying? And they had a song.
He didn't know.
Hakuma Matata, you know what I'm saying? Like, chill, let's be cool with everybody. But these, like, low-life animals that ain't no predators and going killing everything. Simba's a big, badass predator. He the king of the jungle. But he chilling with the, you know what I'm saying, with the cats down, you know, just down for some cool-out shit. And when he ran into Nala, who he grew up with, who is back in the tribe, she like, nigga, where the fuck you been? Nigga, we need you. You know what I'm saying? And he like, Hakuma.
All right, don't say no more. I'm going to watch it.
But like, I get Hakuma it. Nigga, Hakuma Matata.
Yeah, I know. Means no worries. I know that part. I'm hip to the references. Okay. I just never watched the shit. I got Disney Plus. I'm going to check it out.
I'm sorry, man. Yeah, I ain't going to spoil The Lion King for you 30 years later.
Man, come on now.
All right. That's it. That was my Black Fathers moment.
That's what's up, man. That's dope. I've seen that. I've seen some of that film you're talking about. I've seen it on, what was it, HBO Max?
Netflix now.
On Netflix. Okay. Yeah. I've seen some of that. Yeah, that's fire. That's dope, though. It's dope that, you know, I've been hearing over these last few weeks, like, you know, just to hear about how you and your daughter connecting, you know. You know what I mean? Just on her path now, you know what I'm saying? Now she's realizing what her path is. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? This is the last of the Mohicans. You know what I'm saying? Like, this is the, you know, it's kind of cool. Like, you're seeing everybody kind of ascend to what they're growing towards. You know what I'm saying? And it's just like, all right, bet. The last of the trilogy. That's fire.
Right.
Yeah, man. That's what's up, man. Thanksgiving coming up Thursday. You excited?
Oh, yeah, you know. I'm going to see how much I could partake. You know what I'm saying? You know, niggas on a new kind of diet. But I'm excited about seeing what it is. I might try to a new plate, a new dish or some shit to add to the, you know, to the stash. Not to the public reception, but for the, you know, saying the at home stash for the day after and all that type of shit, you know, because I usually do, you know, a turkey, and then a fried turkey, it'll be enough of that shit left over, you know what I'm saying, to get into when you're just at the crib, but we doing it with the mother-in-law this year, so. I gotta see what we bringing, and then what I need to do on the side just for the hit house. You know what I'm saying? After the fact, you know what I'm saying. But you know, right now it's gonna be what it's gonna be. It's not a whole lot of men on that side of the family, so I might be the nigga watching the game on his phone in the corner after a while. But I will enjoy myself. That's for sure.
Right. That's what it is. That's what's up.
Yeah. What about you?
I'm chilling. I'm just going to go out to see the family, you know, eat a little something, talk some shit. You know, just kick it. You know what I mean? It should be good. It should be good. And I'm going to take home some leftovers. I already started, like, pruning the refrigerator to make some room. Mm-hmm. I'm gonna run off some leftovers for a little bit. You know what mm-hmm. I'm saying? So I'm looking forward to that type of shit. And then just the, you know, just the fellowship of it all. The right. bug out. As I'm getting older, I enjoy that. I enjoy the bug out. You know, right. the kicking it. You know what I'm saying? Yeah, it should be fun. It should be fun.
That's what's up. Shit. Yeah. That's it. Have a happy Thanksgiving.
Yeah, y'all have a happy Thanksgiving for sure. For sure, yeah. Enjoy yourselves. Enjoy yourselves. Fargo coming back.
Really?
I'm excited about that. Yeah, I think comes back tonight.
Is Chris Rock or is Chris Rock with just that one season?
Nah, that was just that one season. Every season they got like a whole new cast. This season is John Hamm. So that's the only person I know. That's Don Draper from Mad Men.
Okay.
So that should be interesting. But I fuck with that show. So I'm excited for that. And then later on, you know, Raising Kane is coming back. So the shows are starting to creep up.
Time to creep back
Yeah. Exactly. Good times. So I'm excited about that. Mm-hmm. That's it, man. I think it's time to transform and roll out. But before I do, I want to let the people know where they could see me at. You know, I'll be performing locally. You know, I'll put that on the thing. I think I'm at Eastville this weekend out in Brooklyn. But on the road, I'm going to be at, as y'all all know, I need y'all to come out. I'm at Ann Arbor Comedy Showcase November 30th through December 2nd. Get your tickets now. Tickets are available on my website, DamianLemon.com, as are the tickets for the DC Improv February 8th through the 10th. And then I'll be at the Hartford, I'll be at City Steam in Hartford, Connecticut, February 16th through the 17th. Tickets will be on sale soon. I'll keep y'all posted on that. But right now, those Ann Arbor tickets and those DC Improv tickets are on sale right now. That's November 30th to December 2nd. Let's sell that shit out. And February 8th through the 10th, DC Improv. And as things come about, I'll put y'all, you know, I'll keep you posted. But DamianLemon.com just to find out. And until next week, tell a friend to tell a friend.
And even an enemy.
To get in the conversation. We out.